Hi, friend. John MacArthur here. Whether you're listening to Grace to You by streaming audio or podcast, you're an important part of the family. Thanks for praying for Grace to You, and listen as often as you can and enjoy today's broadcast.
Where is your church right on target? Where might it be missing the mark? How can you tell the difference, and how can you make a difference? John MacArthur helps you answer those questions on today's Grace to You. Evangelist Dwight Moody put it this way: church attendance is as vital to a discipline as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man. And to take Moody's analogy a little further, the right kind of discipline or disciple is an essential for a healthy church, as the right kind of blood is essential for a healthy transfusion. So here's the question: are you the right kind of churchgoer? How can you know if you're strengthening the church or weakening it? To find out, stay with us for Grace to You as John MacArthur helps you be the productive, growing church member that God wants you to be. It all starts with identifying the marks of a healthy church, and that's the title of John MacArthur's current study. Now, after a little review from last time, John is going to look at the spiritual goals that you and the leadership in your local congregation need to strive for, and that God equips you to reach. With that, here's today's lesson.
Now I want you to see what the biblical ministry of the church is. And I want us to look at three letters in the New Testament, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. Because in these we have the pattern for the organization and the structure and the form of the early church, or of any church for that matter. Now, Timothy and Titus were two evangelists. An evangelist in the early church was a church planter. He went to an area where Christ was not named. He won some people to Christ and established a congregation. He stayed with that congregation often as long as a year, maybe even longer, 2 or 3 years, until he had taught them sufficiently so that some of them had matured. When some of them had matured, he would then appoint elders in that city to care that church and to teach in that church, to minister in that church. Then he would move to another place where Christ was not named, win some more people to Christ, establish another congregation, stay there for a few years, ordain elders in that city to carry it on, go to another place, and he just kept doing that. That was the work of an evangelist. He was a church planter. Now, Timothy and Titus did that. They also occasionally did the work of pastor-teacher, which was instructing the people. Even an evangelist was called to do that. But as we look at these three letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, we see the pattern for the church. And to show you that, look at 1 Timothy 3:14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Now, Paul's writing to Timothy, who's an evangelist planting churches. And here's what he says: the reason I'm writing, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know, here's why I'm writing, how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In other words, I'm writing so you will know how to behave in the church. I am giving you the basis of what the church is to be, the principles of the church life. Now, they are very clear. They're not foggy. They're just as lucid as they can be. Now, I want to show you what they are. First of all, what is the basic task of the church? The basic task of the church is to teach sound doctrine. That is the task of the church. Not to give some pastor's opinion, not to give you my opinions, not to recite to you tear-jerking illustrations, not to try to play on your emotions, not to be a fundraiser, not to be running around doing this and that, not to provide programs, entertainment, short little spiritual thoughts, weekly devotionals. The ministry of the church is to teach sound doctrine. To teach sound doctrine. Titus 2:1. Here's another instruction to the one who's planning a church. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That's what the church is all about. These evangelists were to move into the church with sound doctrine. That's the basis of everything. That's what we are to do. 1 Timothy 1:3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, Paul says to Timothy, when I went into Macedonia, why? That thou mightest charge some that they teach no other, what? Doctrine. Teach sound doctrine only. Verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. You take a church that does not have a constant diet of sound doctrine, and they will grab every new hot item that comes along. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor that about which they affirm. If there's no sound doctrine taught, the people who want to teach will grab some that isn't sound. Verse 10. For fornicators, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Sound is the word in the Greek from which we get our word hygienic. It means healthy, that which builds the body. And any other kind of doctrine that tears the body apart has no place. Anything but hygienic teaching. Positive truth. Emphasis on the Word of God. Now, look at chapter 4, verse 1. We'll skip some other thoughts. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's in our day, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and not sound doctrine, but what? Doctrines of devils or demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, how are you going to protect a church against the doctrine of the devil? How are you going to protect the church against seducing spirits? As a pastor, as a teaching shepherd, my job is to protect the flock. How do I do that? Do I run around looking at everybody's credentials? No. The answer is clearly in verses 6 and 7. If thou put the brethren, chapter 4, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine unto which thou hast attained. The only way that you'll ever establish any kind of protection against false doctrine is to nourish people in sound doctrine. And verse 7, refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Look at chapter 4, verse 13. And here is a pattern for preaching. You want to know how you're supposed to preach? Some of you want to be a preacher sometime in God's future or in the present. Here's the pattern for preaching. Till I come, give attendance to reading, that's reading the scripture, to exhortation, that's firing it out, and to doctrine, that's explaining it. There is the essence of preaching. Read it, declare it, explain it. That's what it's all about. That's called expository preaching. You read the text, you explain the text, and you preach it. Declare it. Exhort. And the word for reading there is public reading. It's talking about the preaching ministry. We must read the word. We must explain the word in detail and in depth. And we must exhort the people. We must declare the truth. Verse 15. Here's what the minister is to do. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. The concentration of the leadership of the church is to be in the Word of God. Not in anything else, but in the Word of God. Not in programs or any kind of extraneous activities. We are to be absorbed in doctrine. Verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto what? The doctrine. Continue in them. There is no other way. For in doing this, thou shalt both save, that is, save from false teachers, thyself and them that hear thee. The demon-infested teachers that try to get into the church can only be cast aside when the church is involved in teaching repeatedly, constantly, faithfully sound doctrine. If there is to be protection for the church of Jesus Christ, and if it is to be pure, then there must be on the part of the elders that lead it a faithfulness to the Word of God. Not fuddling around in meetings and conferences and councils and running up your gasoline bill. And it's so easy to do this because some things are good, but they're just not priorities. As a minister of Jesus Christ, I and all others who minister in His name are responsible to God for the purity of the Word. We must teach it in its purity. We must preach it in its purity. We are responsible to protect you from false doctrine. We are answerable to Jesus Christ for how well we do and how faithful we are to protect the flock and to nurture the flock. That's what Christ expects out of every minister. And unfortunately and tragically, pastors talk to me almost weekly that I meet whose hearts are grieved because their churches expect them to do everything under the sun and not what Christ intends them to do, to teach the Word of God. And thus their energies are dissipated in all other duties rather than that prime duty. Now in 2 Timothy, for example, chapter 1, the message is the same. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words. You know what that word form implies? It implies that the pattern of the church, when it meets together, its form should be the teaching of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwelleth in us. And then in chapter 2, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's what it's all about. We want to teach you sound doctrine so you can go teach somebody else sound doctrine. That's the beautiful design of the Spirit of God. The ministry that goes to each other in the body of Christ is just part of it. That's what you're to do. As we mentioned in Ephesians, the ministry of the elders and so forth, those who teach, is to perfect the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. And the key, of course, if you're going to do this, is 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The first word in that verse is the key to any ministry. And so it is that the effective ministry is a doctrine ministry, and in order to be effective, it demands that you study to show yourself approved, especially if you're just learning it as you're going. And it's not the kind of a thing that's cold and unloving. Down in verse 24 of the same chapter, he says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose him, if God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In other words, you don't do it in belligerence, but in love, in meekness. Then in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy in verse 14, he says this, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And how much of the word of God are we to preach? Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Why preach it? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen, if we're going to build the saints and mature our own lives, we must do it in the ministry of the Word. That's our passion. And then he says to Timothy, that great climax in chapter 4, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the Word. Be diligent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and what? Doctrine. And so we see the ministry of the church is simple. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Now that's the basic task of the church. The only way we can ever build the saints is to preach sound doctrine. The only way we can ever please the Lord and obey the Spirit is to preach sound doctrine. Anything less than that is sin. The early evangelists did that. Then what was the basic leadership? And again, we want to look at Timothy and Titus. What is the basic leadership of the church? There are two categories of leaders in the church. This is all the organization they had. Elders and deacons. Now, first of all, there were elders. There was a plurality of elders. No one man was responsible for the church. And I believe this with all my heart, that I believe there must be a collective unity of men that are responsible for the church. That I am just one of those. I happen to have the privilege, by the grace of God, mysterious grace that it is, to be responsible for the teaching, to be the teaching elder, in a sense. But my abilities are pretty much limited to that area alone. And the life of the church belongs to the collective elders who are its leaders under the Spirit of God. I am not any more than any other elder in this church. I am simply one of those. My particular emphasis is in the teaching ministry. One man is not responsible to do it all. Not at all. The pastor is not the professional problem solver who runs around with an ecclesiastical bag of tools waiting for the next problem to repair or the next squeaky wheel to grease. There's more to it than that. Now, the elder is also in the New Testament called the bishop. The elder is his title and the bishop is his duty. Bishop means overseer. He oversees the flock. It's a spiritual ministry always in the New Testament. The elder was always to be concerned with two things, prayer and the ministry of the word. They were ordained in every city. Paul told Titus in chapter 1, verse 5, ordain elders in every city. They came out of that congregation. I believe that the church is best and it is strongest when its own people rise to its own leadership. And so it is a spiritual ministry. These have been qualified by the Spirit of God. They have been prepared and ordained to serve in the local church. In 1 Timothy 5:17, it says this, let the elders that rule well, and it indicates that the elders are to rule. In the local church, the elders rule the church because they're right under Christ. They're responsible to Christ. The elders aren't responsible to the congregation. The elders aren't responsible to some board. The elders aren't even responsible to their wives to do all that their wives ask them. The elders are responsible to Christ and then to lead the church. So let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And that shows that you can be an elder and not necessarily be involved in teaching doctrine. There are other capacities in the design of the Spirit. The elders make the decisions. They're not subject to the people. They're not subject to any group. They are subject to Jesus Christ and to make every decision after prayer and after the word has been studied carefully so that they are making decisions with the mind of Christ in the energy of the Spirit that will affect in a positive way the entire congregation. Friends, it's a high calling. Their elders are to be in persistent prayer. They are to be in a persistent study of the Word of God. They are to search out and know the mind of Christ. And I believe if a decision is to be made among the elders, it would be made unanimously or somebody doesn't have the mind of Christ. And I believe it should be made by the common consent of those men after prayer and the study of the Word, and fasting may be involved as well. The elders are to deal with problems in the church. They're to deal with false teachers. Did you know that? In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, they are to face the problem of false teachers. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and confute the opposers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. The elders are to keep the false teachers out. The elders are also to discipline Christians who get into error doctrinally. In 2 Timothy 2:18, it talks about Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. That's a real serious problem. In other words, here are some heretics in the church. They're to be dealt with. You say, how do you deal with them? 1 Timothy 1:19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, here's what to do, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. That's discipline, friends. Somebody needs to be disciplined. When there's a doctrinal error, the person is put out of the fellowship of the body until Satan has brought him to the place, hit the bottom maybe, and then God begins to restore him. Then we also are to rebuke those who sin in deed, not only in doctrine. 1 Timothy 5. Them that sin, what's the next word? 1 Timothy 5:20. Them that sin, what? Rebuke, what are the next two words? Before all, that others also may fear. We have the right to rebuke sin publicly. Now, to show you what is required of an elder, 1 Timothy 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, now that's the same idea, bishop just meaning his work, overseer. He is an elder, it's the same thing. If he desires the office of an elder, he desires a good work. Now, here's the requirements for an elder. Verse 2. An elder or bishop must be blameless. That is, he must have an inside good reputation with the believing body. Obviously, not perfect. He must be the husband of one wife. That is, true to his one and only wife. Temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Now, apt to teach does not mean that he has to be a teacher. It merely means that he can communicate his faith. Not given to wine, and the word given means somebody who lingers long beside his wine. You get the picture? Not lingering long beside your wine, not violent, not greedy of filthy lucre. That means not after money, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity or seriousness. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Pretty simple. Not a novice, that means a recent convert, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are outside. You got to have good inside report, good outside report, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, there you have a basic pattern of qualifications for an elder. The highest place then in the church belongs to the elder, ruling under Christ as the under shepherd, responsible for teaching doctrine, administrating, disciplining, and protecting the flock, praying for the flock, studying the Word of God. He is answerable to Jesus Christ for that ministry. That's the beginning of the ministry of the early church. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your truth, for your wisdom. We thank you that we know what the church is to be, to teach sound doctrine. We thank you, Lord, that it's so clear. Father, we thank you for the elders that you've given Grace Church, many of the men who serve as elders in a lay capacity. Thank you for elders, Lord, who are here that we don't know yet, that you've sent to us to minister with us, who are not novices, but who are in all those qualifications blameless with an inside-outside reputation that gives glory to Christ. Father, we thank you that some of them are sitting right out here this morning. And Father, they've never really gotten with us because maybe we haven't recognized that they are elders that you've given us. Father, we pray that they'll desire the office commensurate with their life because it's a good thing, and that they'll rise to serve with us, to lead this congregation. Father, I would not take the responsibility to lead for one day by myself. I'm sinful. My decisions aren't always right. I don't want to do it alone. And I thank you for the marvelous design of the Holy Spirit that we do it together with one mind through prayer and the Word. Father, bring the leadership that's here to our eyes that we may see. We thank you for those others who are not elders, but who serve so faithfully, who minister so faithfully in so many capacities, helping, teaching, administrating, serving, visiting, calling on sick, praying, giving, sharing. Father, we just ask you right now to make this church what you want it to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Teaching sound doctrine, keeping his people safe from false doctrine, and protecting them from false teachers. As John MacArthur showed you today, those are the defining responsibilities of a pastor, traits that you want to see in the man leading your congregation. And of course, that kind of a pastor is one of the marks of a healthy church. That's the title of John's current study here on Grace to You. John, so far you've looked at the key features, the fundamentals of the church that you've talked about a lot about submission, both to the truth of God's Word and to a church leader's. It might surprise some folks to be hearing that submission is such a central part of a healthy church.
Well, actually, Carl, everything in the Christian life is about submission. First of all, we submit to God as sovereign. We submit to the Lord Jesus Christ by confessing him as Lord. If any man will come after me, he said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And then, of course, we submit to the Holy Spirit. We are to be yielded to the Spirit. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. That's what it means to be richly filled with the truth that the Spirit has revealed on the pages of Scripture. And then beyond that, not only do we submit to God in a Trinitarian sense, but we submit to the Word of God. The Word is obedience. We obey all that is commanded of us on the pages of Holy Scripture. Then the New Testament says we submit to one another. That's part of spiritual fellowship in the church, mutual submission. Life in the church is all about submission. And that submission makes a healthy, powerful, joyful church. This idea, this truth, and many other truths that respond to it are contained in a book that I've written called The Master's Plan for the Church. As I said yesterday, this book has been translated into many languages, distributed across the planet in the far corners of the world, because the Master's Plan isn't adapted to changing culture. It hasn't changed at all. Doesn't matter what culture, doesn't matter what period of time, the Master's Plan for his church remains the same, and we are to submit to that plan. The Master's Plan for the Church is a book that you, as a believer, need to have. You need to understand what the church is to be. The folks in leadership at your church also need to understand. Order some copies of The Master's Plan for the Church, available from Grace to You, and as always, reasonably priced.
Anyone with a passion for the church will benefit from this book, but it could be particularly helpful if you need to find a church and you're not sure where to begin or what to look for. The title again, The Master Plan for the Church. To order your copy or to order one for a friend, give us a call or go online today. The toll-free number here, available 24 hours a day, 1-800-55-GRACE. Or go to the website gty.org. Order your copy of The Master Plan for the Church. The cost is $13. Shipping is free. Now, it's great to look at the biblical qualifications for church leadership, what the mission of the church is, and what you can do to serve your local congregation. Order when you call 1-800-55-GRACE or go to the website gty.org. Order John's book, The Master Plan for the Church. Now, friend, if you depend on this broadcast for spiritual nourishment, maybe you're struggling to find a solid church, and so this program is helping supplement things. One way that you can say thanks and at the same time keep verse-by-verse teaching a strong presence in your community and across the globe is through your support of Grace to You. If you're benefiting and you're able, please consider making a donation, express your support, and mail your gift today. The mailing address is Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412, or call 1-800-55-GRACE. And now for John and the staff, I'm your host, Carl Miller, inviting you back tomorrow for another 30 minutes of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, here on Grace to You. What can you do? What responsibility do you have to make your local fellowship the healthy, thriving body that God would have it to be? We'll consider the question tomorrow on the next Grace to You.